Let us not waste the great gift of our redemption. St. Peter says in our second reading today, conduct yourselves with reverence during the time of your sojourning, realizing that you were ransomed not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. God paid a great price for our redemption. Jesus was the most perfect human being to ever walk the face of the earth, the most innocent human being, the most loving. And he gave his life so that we could have life. Let's not let this great gift of our redemption go to waste. We don't let it go to waste by doing really dramatic things, although some might do this, but it's not necessarily just completely rejecting God with a formal proclamation or something like that. There are lots of more subtle ways that we can refuse to receive this gift. Some might refuse to receive it simply because they don't know God. They don't know Jesus. They don't know what to ask for or what they're even looking for. And so they don't receive. Others might be confused about what the church believes, what the church teaches, what we believe, and so they drift away. They do not receive this incredible gift. What I think is most common and the most dangerous way in which we refuse to receive this gift is by clinging to sin. Sin which can have no part in the life of God. And so by choosing to cling to that instead of to God, we refuse to receive this redemption. We cut ourselves off. This is the great danger that so many of us can fall into. All we have to do is receive. God's gift of his redemption is completely free. We don't need to perform. We don't need to earn it. The only thing we can do to get in the way is to reject it, to not receive it. And sadly, the way many do this is by clinging to their sin, refusing to let go. One of the church fathers from the first few centuries after the time of Christ said this about these readings today. The greater the price of your redemption, the more respectful to God you ought to be, and not risk offending your Redeemer by falling back into your previous life of wickedness. The challenge for us today, though, is that we live in a culture that denies sin. We rationalize, we try to justify it, we give it lots of nice names. You might say it's just being open-minded or being tolerant or diverse or an alternative lifestyle, whatever you want to call it. So many ways in which we deny the reality of sin. But when we deny it, we begin to accept it in our lives, we begin to cling to it, and we waste this great gift of our redemption. There are so many good things in life that we try to conserve and protect. So many try to conserve the environment and preserve their families and their marriages and conserve their finances, all these good things. But the most important thing of all, our hope for eternal life, our redemption in Christ, we waste it by clinging to our sins, by turning away. So God is calling us to let go. It's not that we have to be perfect before we come to him. But at the very least, we must let go and at least hope and pray for the ability to let go of these sins, that we don't want them in our life. God's calling us to let go of anger and resentment and unforgiveness that we're harboring in our hearts. Maybe it's towards your spouse or your children or whoever. He's calling us to let go of those unjust practices in the workplace. Calling us to let go of those sexual sins that you don't want to let go of. All of these things that keep us from receiving this great gift of our redemption. This is challenging, and I'm right there with you. Every day can seem like a fight to live virtuously and to say no to sin. But we should take great hope and confidence in this gospel passage today. These disciples were completely blinded to the presence of Christ. Jesus was right there walking in their midst, and they couldn't see him. And there's this great irony in their conversation. Jesus pretends to not know what's going on. He says, "What are you talking about?" And they say, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem to not know of what has taken place?" And he's the very one that everyone is talking about. He went through the experience that they're all talking about. And he sort of just plays along with it. What sort of things? And these disciples show how much their faith has been shattered, their hope has been crushed. They say, "We were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel." Look at how far they've gone. These followers of Christ have completely become blinded to his presence, completely lost their faith. But tradition tells us that the second of these disciples, who is not named in the gospel, went on to become the second bishop of Jerusalem. And he eventually died a martyr's death. So that's the transformation that God is capable of bringing about in our lives. To take these fearful, blinded, faithless disciples, to make them into martyrs. That is what God is capable of. And in all of our lives, wherever we are at in this struggle with sin, God is right there, ready and willing to give us all the help we need. The only thing we can do to get in the way is to refuse to receive. But it's so easy to do just that because of the culture we live in, to deny sin, to accept it, to let it become a part of our life. And so the only thing we can do to stop God's redemption from bearing fruit in our life, we do it. So let's let go. Ask God for the grace to let go of our sins, so that we do not waste this great gift of his redemption.